Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask at the beginning of today's program, have you had your session of self-judgment today? When was the last time that you held yourself to self-judgment? The Lord tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. This self-judgment of the believer is to occur daily, often, several times a day. And many times the worldly philosophers will say, don't condemn yourself. Well, you have to recognize that as a Christian, we had to betray ourselves unto God in the first place. In order to become a Christian, you have to betray yourself to God. Forsake yourself for the Lord. Turn your back on yourself for the Lord. Now, you know what it means to turn your back on a child. You know what it means to turn your back on a spouse. You know what it means to turn your back on a friend or on a job. But turn your back on yourself and turn to the Lord. Now, as Christians, we must be continually siding with the Lord. The Lord is not going to tell you to do anything foolish, vile, wicked, sinful. He's the Holy Son of God. He is God. He is holy. He is righteous. And He is never going to direct you into the path of sin and degradation. He is a merciful God. He would have you to deny yourself. Now, as this says in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 11, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So we look upon our own deeds, our doings, and see them how as the Lord would see them. Be willing to bring every act, be it a thought or a motive or a deed, be willing to bring that into the light of the Lord. Be willing to bring it before Him and let the holy will of God be before your will and deny yourself. You see, our motives can be impure, our thoughts can be impure, and our deeds can be impure. You say, well, you know, the reason why you did what you did, your intentions, the Lord knows that. He knows your motives. He can judge those. And see, people only see what we do, and we can cover up what we do with the words we speak. And our motives are concealed, so we think. But when you're honest with yourself, you're willing to examine your motives and expose your motives to the Lord. The reason why you've done what you've done, and reject that which is unchristlike and call it sin and confess it to the Lord that you've sinned. See, don't be one who will say, oh, nobody knew my motives, and with my words I covered up my motives, and by my deeds I even camouflaged them even a little bit more, so I got away with it. No, you didn't. As a Christian, you don't get away with anything. As an unsaved man or woman, you haven't gotten away from the fact that you've rejected Jesus Christ. That's the one sin that sends a man to hell because he's rejected Christ. But one who will receive the Lord should continually be willing to judge self. And so doing, we avoid chastisement from the Lord, the spanking that comes, the child training and the correction. Our Heavenly Father, I ask for Thy blessings again today. I ask for Thy power. I plead Thy blood. Lord, I ask for the anointing of the Lord to minister this word today, that Thou wouldest use this to encourage and to strengthen many. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter 26, now we have seen the close of this matter of the exchange of the birthright being sold by Esau to Jacob, and Jacob desiring the birthright. He desired the birthright. If he simply wanted to be first, he could have said, now, if I got rid of my brother, then I'd be first. Or if we could get him to move to another area, and if I could get him in trouble, then I'd be first. But no, it was something more than that. He wanted the birthright, which, of course, entitled him to the matters of being as the priest, the head of the family spiritually, also receiving the promise of the Lord through whom the Messiah would be born. And also he was in the direct line of the Messiah, this birthright that Esau had. But Jacob wanted the things that mattered and pertained to God. So the birthright of Esau is sold for just temporary gratification, forsaking what the Lord had done and said. But Jacob thinks on this thing, and he looks upon it, and he sees, why, this is something great. I want that birthright. And he goes about it in a wrong way. It was a sinful way. But the fact that he did this, he did it in a way that showed that he believed God. He believed God, and there are ways that people will do what they do because they believe God. And God knows what you think. He knows why you've done what you've done. Genesis 26:1, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. So here's another famine. And you can see the Philistines early in the life of Abraham. Later on, they'll become enemies against David. But right now, notice again what the scriptures say. In the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And David appeared, and the Lord, rather, appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. And this command comes again and again. Don't go down into Egypt for help. Look to me. Now, Egypt in the scripture is a type of the world. The world is that which enslaves and allures us away from the will of God, and doing the work of God turns us away, calls us away, dazzles us with its bright lights and the frivolity, the frivolous activity that goes on, the whining and dining, the drinking and the partying. The world says, come, and Egypt is that type. And it says, there's an abundance here. It's the far country of the sun. In Luke 15, the prodigal son. Go away and have yourself pleasure. Go away and have your needs met. And the scriptures say, and the famine was in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went unto Abimelech. But the Lord had instructed him. So the Lord tells us here that he knew of a plight of Isaac. He knew about the famine. He knew that the famine was going to affect Isaac, but yet he let the famine fall on Isaac too, on the land wherein Isaac dwelt. Now remember, Abraham had amassed a great fortune of cattle and property and people and servants with him. And so this famine affected all of Isaac's household. And the Lord appears to him. Now, in what form did he appear? We do not know, but the Lord knows. And Abraham had experienced this earlier, and now Isaac is experiencing it. And then Jacob is going to experience it. the Lord appeared unto them and gave them instructions. Go not down into Egypt. Well, what would you have me to do, Lord? Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thee, unto thy seed, all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandment, my statutes, and my laws. So the Lord was pleased with Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was evidenced by the life he lived in that he obeyed God. So if you say you believe the Lord and you're not obeying him, then I'm telling you that you don't believe the Lord. When you believe the Lord, you will obey him. And when you're living in his presence, we will obey him. When we don't believe him, we run. See, when we trust him, we wait and rest upon him. That's what it means to trust, to wait, to rest upon him, to rest upon his promises. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and said, She is my sister, for he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Now remember, she is getting along in years also. We told you that when Abraham died, Isaac was 75. When these boys were born, Isaac was 60, and now 15 years have passed. When Abraham dies at the age of 175, so now, how old do you think Isaac is? He's 75, and his wife is quite along in years, and she's a very beautiful woman to look upon. And so Isaac is very much afraid, just as Abraham was. This passed from his father to him. I wonder if Abraham ever told him what he did about that. I wonder if the same thing that happened to Isaac, he could think back and say, you know, this is the way my father handled this, and this is the way I'll handle it. Now, just say that you're my sister so that we won't be harmed. Verse 8, and it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at the out of his window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. He was very friendly to her, and here they are well along in years, but they are still friends. And Abimelech notices this. This is not brother-sister friendship. This is something different. Just stop at this point and take this up on the next broadcast. Our Heavenly Father, we pray thee to bless the message today and bless us, Lord, and help us to be faithful. Protect us and empower us by thy grace. This, Father, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I invite you to join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson, Greenville, South Carolina.